the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. There's much said about the bread of life. When Jesus was speaking before his crucifixion and before his resurrection, he was talking about his Godhead, that the Godhead is the bread of life. The Godhead, he reminded the Jews, supplied the manna that their fathers ate in the wilderness. But there's to be a new relationship now, a relationship to the bread and to the relationship of my own body. Now, the Jews were willing to listen as long as there was a meal that came along with the lecture. But when the meal didn't come and all they got were the spiritual words, Jesus went in their mind from being a prophet to being, is not this the carpenter's son? Joseph and Mary, whom we know? It says, they murmured against him. Now think about this. The Godhead that supplied food for the Israelites in the wilderness, the Godhead now dwells with them. And remember, where one in the Trinity exists or is manifest, the other two are there, whether seen or unseen. The Trinity is never separated. So if you have God the Father, you have Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus Christ, you have the Father and the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have God the Father and you have Jesus. They are inseparable. So when I say the Godhead fostered this sense of security amongst the Jews, because they failed to listen, and this is a big word, they failed to listen, Marina. They failed to listen. And they failed to listen because they weren't fed. If you feed somebody, they listen. They listen. Have you ever noticed how quiet it gets? If we had a decibel meter in the hall, just before I pray over the food, and then after everybody is served, it drops significantly because the people are busy chewing. They're not talking. Chewing replaces talking, but when you have no chewing, you have talking. The Jews murmured at Jesus. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? I will tell you, this is an aside. Saint Gregory Nazianzus, he was decrying the fact that many people who were unprepared were rushing to the priesthood. And do you know what he related it to? People want to teach. People want to preach. People don't want to listen. So if you know yourself, you don't like to listen, it's much better if you got to be here anyway to be the one who's talking. Now, I don't know if St. Gregory just didn't care or if he didn't think when he issued that statement, but who is it but bishops that ordain priests? If it weren't for the bishops, who then was responsible for ordaining all of these people that were unworthy? Did the bishops themselves have no discernment? But I say to you, the main reason for his saying what he said was because people don't like to listen. The thing I know, I remember there was a woman, you know, and I I feel it's my responsibility to get you to pray, whether you like to pray or not. So when we passed out the Agabeas, I made everybody say the prayers in unison all the way through. And this is not done, I don't believe. I don't know this for a fact. But until I started it, I never saw it at any other church. We pray every word. And there was one woman who said, well, I pray in Arabic. I don't feel it when I pray in English. Okay. I said, let Ramas listen to you pray. Her response was, I'm old enough. I don't need anybody to listen to me pray. Now, what do you think inside yourself? Did this woman know how to pray? Or was she just sitting there or standing with a book in her hand, passing time? Well, I already have my opinion, and I can guess if you understand my personality in any respect, you understand what I feel about this woman. Because if you know something, it doesn't hurt. You're not diminished if you're asked to demonstrate it. But if you're hiding ignorance, if you're pretending, then that's bad. And I think this is what St. Gregory was talking about. The people who are pretenders. And you find pretenders in all walks, whether in the diaconate, the priesthood, or amongst bishops, even patriarchs. So, moving along, Jesus, in the most amazing display of humility, said, No one is going to come to me unless the Father himself draws him. Now, how is that? Think about your own conversion experience. Now, if you were, as Jerry and I were, converted as adults, you may not have a sense of when you actually converted. And what I mean by this is when you were old enough not to just be a follower of your parent, though you were baptized as an infant and communed regularly all through your days growing up. But there was some time, maybe in your teenage years, when you said, I am this. This is who I am. Some of you will have had teachers that ask you, on the first day of school or the first week of school, stand up and tell us something about yourself. Who are you? And I can remember when I was asked this and I was 14, I stood up and I said my name and I said, I'm a surfer. That was so important to me that everybody would know that I was a surfer. And I wore the white jeans that the Beach Boys wore, if you looked at the first albums. I had the Pendleton wool shirts in the middle of summer, which they all wore, which scratched like crazy. And I wore Huarache sandals. And the Huaraches had to be made a certain way. They weren't a real Huarache unless they were having as a sole a piece of rubber tire. They had to be poor Huaraches because the Beach Boys were poor. And the shirts they were wearing, although we had to go all the way to Knott's Berry Farm to buy these because it's the only place that sold these Pendleton wool shirts, which were really expensive. 8 times the cost of a regular shirt. But for the Beach Boys, they were hand-me-down shirts from their dads. And if you had a dad that had a Pendleton and you got that Pendleton, then your legitimacy rose. But for Christians, it comes in a much more subtle way. I branded myself, but this is something that you have been given since childhood. So when is it that you decide, you know what? In spite of what my parents say, in spite of what the church teaches, if nobody else in the world taught it anymore. I'm Orthodox. I'm Christian. I will never change. If everyone but me disappears from the earth, this is who I am. It's just as clear as if I were to try to deny my own gender. I can't. It's me. I used to play, I had this aunt. This is where I got it from. This mean aunt. She was just the kind of aunt that was always playful and a lot of the time sarcastic. Aunt Jean. And she said, "Oh, you know what? You know, this is when you're little. When you lose your front two teeth, you change." And what do you mean you change? "Well, boys become girls and girls become boys." And I was in such a panic. I didn't want to be a girl. I knew I was a boy. But this, you know, I don't know how old I was. I think I was probably in first grade. But you can't deny your gender. And, well, unless you have a gross psychological problem. So, when it says the Father draws you, remember how I told you in a previous time that one of the fathers of the church, St. John Chrysostom, said that there were five baptisms? The first baptism was the baptism of the Word which I have spoken. And even the Samaritan woman, Fotini, at the well said, "We know the Messiah is coming. We know this." How did they know that? They only read the Pentateuch. They only had the five books of Moses. That's it. How did they know? Because you read in between the lines and you know that a Savior is necessary. So when he says, are you embarrassed? Because I said, I am the bread of life. Don't worry. No one comes to me except the Father draws him. Now the Jews in their pompous and self-righteous mindset, well, we have the Father. We are the sons of the patriarchs. So it was to mollify them. But the truth of the matter is that those who will listen, how many times have you heard, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear"? It's about the Spirit of God coming from the mouth, born by the words as vessels. You take a vessel. A vessel is something as familiar to you as a can of Coke. You drink the content of the Coke. You don't preserve the vessel to worship it. It is simply a means of transportation to get the one thing that is important into you. So the words that I have spoken, these words, these are the ones that bear the spirit and the intent that you will be saved, that you will know. And so the Lord said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." But then he said this because they're Jews. It is written in the prophets. He can't be saying this to a Gentile, can he? The Gentiles don't have anything to do with the Bible, the Torah. It is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught by God. They didn't understand the pointedness of that. If you don't recognize who I am, then you have not been taught by God. You've not listened to God. You want to be a preacher. You want to be a teacher. You do not want to be a listener. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Everyone who has heard and learned. What a terrible thing it is to hear this message, knowing that if we had to take a test right now, those of us in church, and asked us, from what book came St. Paul's epistle? From what book came the Catholic epistle? From what part did we read from Acts? Who listened? Who listened? It was said, but who listened? It was prayed, but who listened? You see, when we count ourselves free from this kind of condemnation, all we do is, through our own admitted laziness, put ourselves in the same situation as that of the Jews in their day. Now, of course, after the resurrection, this has a greater and even more hurtful meaning than it does before. Because before, you could have been simply embarrassed that a man was willing to call himself or to put himself in the place of the Holy One. But now, after the demonstration, it's not just that he is a conduit of God's power, so that by means of that power he performs miracles. No, it's because he is himself and in himself that power. So we have we have 70.2% of the feasting that remains. Let us feast while remembering what we went through during the Lord's Passion, commemorated in Holy Week, and let us feast on those holy words as well. May the blessing of this time that we have spent together be for you and for me. Glory be to our God, and His Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit.